was impressive, you know, and I thought in that second half of the Bucknell game, we didn't do a good job of handling the double teams that they're throwing at Anthony, and I thought guys were letting the frustrations of missing shots affect their defense and overall just focus to what we were trying to do, and you know, I thought we did a better job when we went down to the D.C. area, so it was good to see and to be expected. I mean, it's a young and experienced team, and you know, the group the last couple of years has made it look really easy closing out games, and it's a lot harder to do. And even down in D.C., you saw it, where we had, you know, we led the whole trip. I didn't realize till after the trip, but had double-digit leads in the second half of those games, and you know, kind of got tough down the stretch, and it's just really hard to do, but our guys found a way down in D.C., and it was a good sign.
Did you see a different kind of urgency, especially going to the GW game? I mean, you you come off a tough loss against Bucknell, you're at home, and now you go on the road, and, you know, and you get ready to play a good team in GW. You know, did you see a different sense of urgency with your players?
You know, though, not necessarily. What I did feel like was that from a leadership standpoint with Ernie and Anthony and Everett, they were much more in control and they were much more engaged, and they you know, I thought we were much more connected and much more emotionally in a good state, where at the Bucknell game it felt like we got disconnected and we kind of didn't have the leadership we needed down the stretch, and I felt like on the D.C. trip, the leadership of those three guys was very consistent, and you know, that kept us going, you know, and every night Ernie and Anthony were there for us as far as production goes, and then we got kind of some other guys each and every night. It was a different guy, but that's how it's got to be, you know, early in the year. Anthony and Ernie got to carry us, and then we'll figure out who else can be a consistent contributor. But from the D.C. trip, I just thought our leadership was consistent, you know, emotionally, and I thought that was a big difference.
You know, Coach, one of the things that really impressed me the most on the trip was early on in the George Washington first game. You know, you had a comfortable lead. They tied it, you know, kind of midway to late in the second half. You took the timeout, and it had that feel as people were watching and listening to the Bucknell, which way are we going to go? And then you came out and you closed out in a big, big, strong way. What was that timeout like? And did that kind of propel you through the rest of the trip?
Yeah, I think that, you know, you're right. They came out in the second half. They're killing us on the offense. They come out and they tie the game. They get the crowd into it a little bit. And that timeout, it was, you know, I wanted to see where we were, you know, and like I said, we were there. Anthony was very vocal and very positive, and Ernie the same. And, you know, we just needed to take a breath and remind them of what we're trying to do here. And then we came out and Maul makes a big three, and then Benny Shungu, you know, hit a huge shot, and then Everett made a couple in a row. And that kind of offensive production and kind of outburst there at that time, I think everybody in the program was relieved, because it just seems like we haven't been able to string together kind of runs like that. And it felt just like, oh, okay, like, you know, we can score, and God, this is a lot easier when we do score. And so, yeah, I thought that kind of that gave us a lot of confidence, and then we just kind of picked it up from there and kind of continued that throughout the rest of the trip. So I thought that was kind of, like you said, kind of a really important point for us in our non-conference schedule, but certainly on that trip.
You know, Coach, continuing on the trip, you know, you mentioned on numerous occasions the steadiness and the leadership of Ernie and Anthony on the trip. And in the three games, Ben Shungu, Steph Smith, Isaiah Maul, Robin Duncan has been steady. You know, these guys who didn't see a lot of quality minutes, or they're new to the program. Talk about their progression here in the first, you know, the first stage of the season.
Yeah, no, I think, first of all, you start with Benny. He's been really, really good. and he was 4 for 4 from three and on the trip. And we, from an athletic standpoint, you know, he's got a high major kind of body, and he's been really, really consistent and really good, and he's a big part of our success so far this year, and certainly on this trip. Steph Smith got off to a great start, you know, and then on the DC trip didn't shoot it as well. And also, interestingly enough, Robin Duncan started, you know, was inserted to the starting lineup before the GW game, and we brought Everett off the bench. You know, one thing we're looking at is with Robin now in the lineup with Ernie and Steph, Steph's shots went down on this trip considerably. So we just got to keep our eye on that, because we got to make sure that he's getting enough attempts, because Steph can really score the ball. And so that was one interesting kind of statistical, not anomaly, but thing that kind of appeared for us that we got to keep our eye on. But Steph's been really good this year, and you know, got foul trouble in some of the games that kind of hurt his minutes also. So he's got to do a better job of not fouling. That's something that's been consistent with him so far in his first year and a half. Robin Duncan's been really good. You know, from a defensive standpoint, you know, we did a great job in the Mason game against the Livingston kid, who's a first team All Atlantic 10 caliber kid, and Robin, you know, he's did a really good job on him, and defensively he could be elite, you know, and then offensively he really, the ball moves better when he's in the game, and so he's doing really good for a freshman point guard. It's been pretty impressive. And Isaiah Maul, you know, it's been up and down offensively, but he's figured out for the most part how to play hard enough defensively and rebounding the ball that, you know, I told him now we can start to figure out how to take advantage of his offensive skill set, which he's a unique player. We need to kind of continue to figure out how to take advantage of him, whether he plays point guard, you know, initiates our offense at times, or playing through him in the post where he can be a facilitator. So there's a lot of nice pieces to work with offensively. As coaches, we're just trying to figure out the best way to use these guys as we get more experience with them. And then Ryan Davis, who has a leg injury, started the first two games, and then we kind of shut him down for a little while here, see if we can get him fixed up. But he's shown signs, you know, of being a really, really good player. So I think, unfortunately, hopefully we can get him healthy and really start to see the kid that we saw this summer in Canada, and obviously the kid that we were really super excited about signing out of high school. So he's going to be really, really good. So hopefully he can get healthy, and that will be a huge piece to our team and kind of round us out a little bit better, because we're a little thin up front.
We are talking to the head coach of the UVM men's basketball team, Coach John Becker, here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game with Jeff and Bernie. Hey, Coach, so, you know, you come home from a road trip like this and you think, okay, I'm going to exhale, but you can't, because you've got Harvard tonight, and then you've got Northeastern here in St. Bonaventure for this next three games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big week and a half for you.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I try to break this non-conference into segments, and, you know, we did the D.C. segment. Now we got this homestand segment against three really good teams. Yeah, it's it doesn't get any easier, but, you know, that's okay, and we're going to continue to be challenged here. And one thing I talked about our guys is how we handle success. You know, could we put some wins together? And we were able to do that. Now we got to hold home court. You know, we gave we lost one to Bucknell, and so we got to start to put some together here at home and protect home court. And like you said, it's not going to be easy. Northeastern's really good. St. Bonaventure, obviously, is really good. And Harvard. And the thing, you know, three great coaches, you know, that run these programs that will be coming to Patrick. So we're going to have our hands full, but, you know, it will be we'll find out a lot more about ourselves. And long as we continue to get better into January and into February. And that's what I'm really excited about. We've had some good quality wins. To sit here at 6-3 after the first nine games a year against the schedule we were looking at, with the uncertainty of, you know, unproven guys, so to speak, and Anthony coming back from a long injury. You know, there was a lot of question marks, and to be sitting here at 6-3 has been pretty darn impressive. And so now we just got to, but we just haven't played our best basketball. You just see there's a lot more room for growth, and there's a lot of, you know, the potential is exciting to think about if we can put it together, you know. And so so we'll be challenged here for the next for this month and as we move into the conference play. But we're going to have some great opportunities to see what we can be against really good teams.
And Coach, last question here for you. As you get ready to get the team ready for tonight against Harvard, what do we have to look for in the game tonight to get the Catamounts to 7-3 come this evening?
Yeah, I mean, so with Harvard, their three top guys are two of them are definitely out. Third one, Chris Lewis, has missed the last three games, and so potentially they have three of their best players out. But just, you know, anyone that follows college basketball knows the recruiting pipeline that Harvard has going of high major players. So, you know, they start to bring in guys now off their bench, and you know, it's top. They're bringing top 100 guys in. So there's really, I mean, there's not much of a drop off in the talent level. So you're talking about a really talented team, a big physical team, high major type of athletes that play really, really hard. You know, offensively, they're just going to play a motion offense and try to throw it down into the post. They're one of the best post-up teams in the country. They're also one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country, so that's a tough combination to deal with. And then on the other end of the court, they're really going to pressure us, deny one pass away. They're really going to try to speed us up and get into us. They have some rim protection. So tonight, I think the key is, I think, you know, we'll two good defensive teams. Last year was 62-56, you know, low scoring game. So I think we're both going to, you know, I feel confident we can guard them. It's a question of, can we score enough points, you know, and I think that will be the key. And that's something that we're been inconsistent with this year so far as our offense. And so hopefully we can put together at home a good shooting night. You know, I mean, see us in practice and then you see us in the game, you know, the offensive firepower is there, you know, and hopefully at some point it translates into the game on a consistent 40-minute basis. You know, we just had those 5-minute spurts where it looks beautiful, and then the next 5 minutes we struggle. You know, we turn it over a couple times and miss a couple wide open shots. So hopefully we can put a consistent offensive game together and score enough points.
Head coach John Becker, good luck tonight. Thanks so much for the time, and keep it rolling, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, right. Coach.
Head coach of the UVM men's basketball team, John Becker. Exciting week for them, obviously. I mean, this schedule is insane to me. It really is.
If you have the opportunity to get to Patrick Gym in one of these next three games, you have to go.
You have
because
to.
The quality of basketball that you will see is going to be as good as you'll see all season.
And if you go tonight, you can see Bernie's man crush, Coach Amaker, Harvard. If you're listening, Coach, you know, come over and, you know, sign Bernie or give Bernie a little autograph or something.
Great point guard for the Dukies.
Yeah, and a typical another Dookie. All these Dookies all over the place.
Yeah, gotta love it.
Anyway, don't have to love anything. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk some more sports. Don't go anywhere.
Now, back to Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
It is really amazing. I mean, I don't mean to be, you know, keep talking about this, but, you know, their schedule, this UVM men's basketball team schedule is insane. I mean, Harvard tonight, and then they have next Sunday, they got Northeastern coming in, who's a great team, and then St. Bonaventure comes in a couple days later.
And then where do they go?
They're at Lipscomb.
And do you know anything about them? Made it to the NCAA tournament, gave North Carolina a run for their money last year. This year has beaten TCU and SMU.
Wow.
So, yeah, you look at that, you're like, oh, who's that? Well, that's somebody pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. For this month, they're at George Mason. Tonight they're home against Harvard. Next Sunday, home against Northeastern. Next Tuesday, the 18th. So on the 8th, let's start over. 8th, tonight they're at Harvard.
Can you get your stuff together, please?
I'm sorry. The 16th, they play Northeastern. The 18th, they play St. Bonnie at home. And then the 21st, right before Christmas, they're at Lipscomb. I mean, that's crazy.
Yes.
And three of those teams are coming here. That's even more crazy.
And they're 6-3.
Yeah, they're 6-3. That's just crazy stuff. But it's good stuff. It's exciting. It really is exciting. And again, you know, you have these teams coming in. Don't take them for granted. We say it every week. Don't take this stuff for granted. If you're looking for, there's a lot of, Vermont loves basketball.
And if you love basketball, there's a women's game at 2 o'clock against Yale today.
Yeah, it's a huge game.
And that's a big game for them. Yep. You know, they're off to a solid start. And, you know, great day to spend a frigid afternoon in a warm and comfortable Patrick Gym.
And we haven't talked about, you know, the UVM women, but that's a program that's turning around now. The new coaching staff, and it's always difficult when there's a transition. They've really turned the corner, Bernie.
They have. You know, you can see some energy. They've had some quality wins, and they're playing another tough schedule, and this is their last chance to see them at home, because they get ready to go. They get ready to hit the road gauntlet after being home a lot early here in November and December.
And then obviously coming in January, the conference tournament, the conference starts. So here we go. Playing those. And I was reading an article about Stony Brook. They have something going on down there. They're a very talented basketball team, so we got to be careful with Stony Brook,
Hartford, you know, Vermont, the usual suspects up there. So going to be fun.
Going to be very interesting. Watched a Giant game last week?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
They just do everything.
They do everything to keep us...
They just, you know, it's like, oh, this is going to be the game. They're going to put one game together, and then
and so now, you know, we're Giants fans and we're homers. So
of course,
if you don't want to listen to the Giants segment, please turn now. But it's been a long time since we've done this,
right?
And first off, I find the most interesting thing, you know, I kind of chuckled to myself on Thursday night watching the Jaguar game. Did you see the left side of the Jaguars' offensive line?
Yeah, player. Yeah, cast offs by the Giants.
And look at how good their offense was.
No, terrible.
You know, terrible. And so now it's like you look at the Giants and I chuckle because.
Before you take the Giants, that run was is it Henry, the running back for
Derrick Henry, 99 yards.
Is that not the coolest run you've ever seen? That was like one of those things where you got like the kid that's like 15 years old against the kids that are 6 years old or something in football. He's just throwing people around. It was insane.
Yeah, usually a 99-yard touchdown run is like jukes or a lot of speed.
Well, first of all, there's only been two of them. Like the Tony Dorsett did the first one. So it's not like these happen a lot, you know?
No, I'm thinking like in college and high school and everything. Sure. Like across all the levels. Yeah. They're usually like a lot of juking or a lot of just being fast. Yeah. He stiff-armed, what, two, three people on his way to the end zone?
Yeah. Well, he threw that one guy to the ground, and could there have been a face mask called on him?
I mean, maybe, but there also could have on Steve Smith a couple years ago when he threw Pac-Man.
We're not talking about Steve Smith right now. We're talking about a 99-yard touchdown run.
But my point is offensive players don't get called for that very often. It happens every once in a while, but it's usually they let it go.
Well, you're absolutely right about the type of athlete that Henry is. I mean, he's more of the bulky.
He didn't even look tired.
No.
He threw a couple of guys off him, and then he's just in the end zone like, all right.
I mean, he's a beast. When you see him on the field, he looks like a man amongst children.
Yeah, well, and the thing about Aaron's point is that usually when you see a guy that runs for a 99-yard touchdown, they're fat, they're scat backs, they're guys that are just great breakaway speed. This kid is just fast kid.
You've only seen it one other time.
No, I understood.
Yeah,
Aaron every level. Level. But what I'm saying to you is Tony Dorsett was one of the all-time greats, but he was a you know, first step is insanely fat. This kid is just a big, strong back.
It's not like it's that different with the 97s and the 94s and the 90s. Well, it's still usually
Jeff said 99.
It's usually a guy who can fly. And this kid, he's fast, but he's more strong than he is fast. He's incredibly strong.
Imagine, you know, if you were that person who had Derrick Henry on your fantasy team and didn't
Nobody
start.
Does. I don't think anybody does.
Oh, there are.
He is one running back that people are so down on in fantasy that you're always like, I can't. I mean, I think he's on our waiver wire in my league.
I know he was on somebody's bench who was in the playoffs in our league. And,
oh my God, you can't even wait. Yeah, geez.
Yeah, that's
not good. But how do you start him? How do you start him against Jacksonville? I mean, seriously. When you look at the matchup on paper going into that game, Jacksonville comes off shutting out a team at home, you know, an angry football team. The team's got a really good defense. You're going to start Henry, who's had basically a disappointing season.
You're absolutely
season.
Right, but it's fun to make fun of those people that don't start him because my team is so bad.
Is your team playing this guy? Are you in the playoffs?
No.
No, you're in the playoffs. Okay.
No, I'm not. No. The drought continues.
The drought continues. All right, well, you brought up the Giants. So what do you want to talk about the Giants? What's going on?
What
can we talk about the Giants?
Where do you start?
They're bad.
Yes.
They're one of those teams that are just, but they're frustrating.
But you look at them and, you know, there are some pieces.
Yeah, Barkley's the man.
And I like 3/5 of the offensive line.
Yeah.
I like the tight ends. And then everything else is like, so where do you start? Do you start at quarterback? Do you start at right tackle?
Well, here's the thing about them. And here's the thing about them. They're not going to, they have some potential. You know, we joked about this when Aaron brought it up last week.
And again, if you don't want to listen to the Giants.
Oh, yeah, move on, whatever.
Yeah, come back. I mean, the reality, come back at 10:56.
I do want to defend you guys because people complain a lot about you talking Giants. They are the second biggest NFL fan base in the state.
Well, I think the point here with the Giants is that it looks like they're going to win. They potentially could win 5 or 6 games here, which is not going to get them the 1, 2, or 3, or 4 pick, whatever the Giants think they're going to get. So it may not be a quarterback that they draft. It may not be that quarterback. So you might be right. You know, you might be looking for what you do when you get the 8th or 9th pick or 7th pick in the draft. You take the best player available, and they have plenty of needs. But I think for the Giants in general, it's just they're just. I love watching Barkley play. There are moments with Odell Beckham, but with what he did last week in the onside kick, it's like, come on, Odell. Like, what are you doing? If you don't know what he did, the Giants were up a touchdown. With a minute left to play, onside kick by the Bears.
He's on the hands team.
Yeah, and Odell kind of like tippy toes up there and doesn't try to catch the ball on the bounce, and Chicago gets the ball. Chicago then goes down and scores, and the Giants kick a field goal and end up winning the game, which was great. But you know, it's not a good look for Odell Beckham.
No, it's not, and you know, it makes you wonder. Thank goodness he made some plays. I imagine if they lose that game.
Well, didn't you think they were?
No.
You didn't think they were going to lose that
never,
football game?
Never. Yeah, complete and utter confidence in my big blue.
They're just a team that seem like they're close every week. They can put 3 quarters together, but they can't put that 4 quarter game together. There's some things that happen. You shake your head. The week before against Philadelphia against Philadelphia, Eli throws that ridiculous interception before halftime that didn't have to happen. It's like you just look at this team and you think what is going on? Some of the play calling. But that's what happens when you're a 4-8 team. You're not a very good football team.
Right. And that's the truth. And talk about getting the opportunity to make your mark, the general manager now, that this is his chance.
It is. And you got to give him some time. I think his draft this year was very solid. The people that are going to get on the Giants for not drafting a quarterback are ridiculous. They have the best player. I think he's the best player in the league. I think Saquon Barkley.
Take it easy. Patrick Mahomes?
I love Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
But I think Patrick Mahomes is, I think he should be, well, we'll talk about this later on. I think Patrick Mahomes is a great player. But when you look at what Saquon Barkley's done with the offensive line they have in front of him, with the quarterback he's got staying Hike in front of him, and what he's been able to put together, I mean, this kid is special. I mean, you know, Mahomes is in a perfect system, great weapons, good football team, great offensive line, great player. Don't get me wrong. I think Mahomes is the man. I love Pat. In fact, I'm rooting for Kansas City the rest of the way. I know it's a bad look because Kansas City, with everything that's gone on with them, but I love Mahomes. I think he's a great player. But the Giants, with what this kid's had to do with what he has in front of him, it's very impressive.
And I also wonder, you know, with the salary cap in the NFL and those type of things, is the way to go the younger quarterback who doesn't have the big money? You look at the Giants. They're struggling with Eli's contract. Baltimore, Joe Flacco,
sure.
Matt Ryan in Atlanta, Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. You look at the teams that are successful, Jared Goff, rookie contract, Patrick Mahomes, rookie contract. Tom Brady is compensated well but doesn't break the bank. He gives a hometown discount. So I think Drew Brees did the same thing.
And let me ask you this question. Do we look at the quarterback position now and look at this and say, the talk has always been you have to have the elite quarterback, Do you have to have the elite quarterback? Do you have to have the Tom Brady, the Drew Brees type guy to win?
But again, those are two guys that make it easier because they don't strangle. Like Russell Wilson, they had success and then he got paid. And now that has wavered, is coming back a little bit this season. So there's a lot of interesting ways to kind of look at this.
And then the other problem is there's a difference between elite quarterbacks and transcendent quarterbacks. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and guys like that, they make a distinct difference when they're on the field. The likelihood of you drafting a quarterback and him becoming a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers is minuscule, and so you got to put a team around him.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But you know, Aaron Rodgers has only won 1 championship, so let's not go nuts here. I mean, Aaron Rodgers.
Well, they didn't put a team around him.
He's a great. Oh, that's not true. They've had great teams. Aaron Rodgers had great teams. Aaron Rodgers hasn't won. He's a great player. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is, could you win it? Could you go to the playoffs and be a Super Bowl contender with a Case Keenum at quarterback? Could you do it with a Tyrod Taylor at quarterback if you've got a team that the weapons that the Giants have on this team if they protect them a little bit?
And you look at Jacksonville; they went all in on Blake Bortles, backfired.
Exactly. So you know, you just wonder. You know, do you have to have that? And again, transcendent quarterbacks. The only transcendent quarterback you got in the league right now is Tom Brady. That's it. The rest of these guys are good players, but they're not Tom Brady. I mean, Drew Brees, like you saw everything I've told you about Drew Brees against the Cowboys last week.
I'm starting to feel you don't like Drew Brees. Like, you might like Drew Brees less than Eli Manning.
Not that I don't like him. I think what you saw to Drew Brees last week against Dallas is exactly.
You killed Drew Brees and Eli more than anybody.
Because that's who Drew Brees is, a great quarterback. You know, he throws for a lot of yards, but he's good in his dome. And he's good, you know, that's where he's good. But you take him outside of it. What was he last week against Dallas? I mean, that's what he is. He's a great quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he's not Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers, another guy. I mean, I don't know if he's making too many TV commercials. I don't know what's going on. There's one transcendent quarterback in this league. It's Tom Brady. I guess other eras were Joe Montana. I mean, you know, you go through a few, but there's only a few of them that are out there. I'm just saying, do you have to get the great quarterback to win when you've got the weapons of Giants? You just need a guy that you can protect a little bit. Guy can move around the pocket. You can win some games.
Yeah, I mean, there's the argument of the you know, nowadays the high paid wide receiver is the person that hasn't won.
Oh, that's
true. You know, from that standpoint, and is that quarterback and the user friendly salary cap quarterback more valuable than those other positions?
And wouldn't you love to see a quarterback that's mobility in that Giant offense, Byrne, just to see what it could do?
I'd love to see him draft a guy from Ohio State.
Well, but I don't think he's mobile enough.
From Ohio State?
He's a big, strong guy. He's a pocket passer. He's not the moving kind of guy, man. I'm just saying. I'm just wondering, if you put it, and this is great, but if you put a Tyrod Taylor behind as a Giants quarterback, and you were able to protect him a little bit, a guy that could move in the pocket when you have the weapons that you have, like the Barkleys and the Beckhams and the Sharps and the two tight ends, it'd be interesting to see what this football team could do if they had a guy that could move a little bit. You know, there's just so much more you can do in your offense with a guy that can move, and you notice that, you know, the quarterbacks that can move, for the exception of, you know, Brady, who just is the best that's ever played, they're the ones that win. You know,
Cam Newton?
Cam Newton's winning?
No,
he's not. Cam Newton looks terrible. Cam Newton looks average.
Cam Newton's never won a thing.
I know he hasn't, but he's more of a pocket guy than a movement kind of guy. He
used to be a movement guy.
I understand, but I mean he's kind of running with last case scenario. I'd just be interested to see what the giant weapons that they have. The Beckhams, the Barkleys.
Let's let Odell play QB.
You might as well. He's 2 for 2.
That's it.
He looks solid touchdowns. When he throws.
He does. And he can move a little bit in the pocket.
Just go straight Wildcat.
That was something with that play last week, too. I'll tell you. They should just let him do that more often. I totally agree. But again, if one of these quarterbacks the Giants have on the roster right now had the ability to be able to get out of the pocket, it'd just be fun to see what they could do with a guy like, with Barkley and Beckham, to get a guy out in the open space like that would be a lot of fun.
Thank you for tolerating Giant talk out there.
Yeah, we got to do it once in a while.
Yes.
You know, we do the show once a week, and we don't talk about Giants a lot, but once in a while, we want to get it off our chest.
That's it.
That's why I wish our show was Monday, because usually I'm so ticked off by Monday morning with what's going on with the Giants, I want to talk that then.
Yeah, but
then we soften up by Saturday.
It's perfect.
It's not perfect. I haven't been able to get my frustrations out. Now I got them out.
Okay,
so
good.
So I feel better.
Good.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Get ready, because you're about to hear some weird shit. This is Out in Left Field on 101.3 The Game.
Yeah, Bernie, you can't be making faces at me when I'm reading the live read. My boy Nick Parent over at Mortgage is going to be mad.
I was laughing at the Town Fair text line with the person heckling my fantasy team.
Oh, yeah. Gino and Saranac Lake said, Bernie's fantasy team hasn't been good since Steve Smith was relevant.
Yep.
Well played, Gino.
Yeah, with friends like that, who needs enemies, right?
All right, you know what that music sounds? It's Out in Left Field time. What do you got today, kiddo?
Alaskan couple catches a moose playing Ding Dong Ditch at their door. Kyle Stoltz and Allie Johnston were shocked on early Wednesday morning when the doorbell to their home in Anchorage, Alaska started ringing up a storm. Stoltz checked on his dogs and looked out the window, but saw no signs of anything. We were thinking kids coming through playing Ding Dong Ditch or maybe a neighbor coming through. We had no idea, Schultz told the local station. But security footage didn't show the presence of teenage pranksters, missionaries, or even a lost pizza driver. We had this nice moose behind waiting for us right there. Stoltz said, and he decided to back right up into it, and that's how he got our doorbell.
Man. It's funny. I had this morning at Ramuntos, I went out back to open the back door for delivery guy. There's a little rabbit sitting out my, just waiting, just sat there. Let me come out. I got right now. I could have picked it up.
Must have been warm by your door.
It must have been. I mean, he looked like he had a pretty good jacket on, but yeah, I had a moose in my backyard once, too.
I said, could you imagine the middle of the night, you know, having your doorbell rung? You go down and check it out, and there's this moose out there.
Well,
no thanks.
Did you open the door?
No.
I had somebody do Ding Dong Ditch on me not this past fall, but a couple years ago. Like, they rang the doorbell 3 times, and then they ran off. It makes me mad, woke me up. You know, it's like 4 in the morning. 4 in the morning, a kid did some kid. I don't know if it was a kid's night.
Oh, you never know.
4 o'clock in the morning? Like, what are you doing 4 o'clock in the morning ringing the doorbell?
And then they wonder why they're getting D's in class.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You're up at 4 in the morning, buddy.
Exactly.
Nah, maybe they were doing an all-night study session and they were just taking a break.
Take a walk and ring my doorbell.
Sure.
Got to refreshing themselves, you know, get the fresh air.
Yeah, get a little fresh air going. Maybe that's what's happening. We had a moose in our backyard a couple years ago hanging out.
Uh-huh.
No, you know, no horns. I don't know if it was a young moose or a female. It hung out for like an hour, started to walk away, and my wife Monica didn't want it to walk away, so she Googled moose call sounds. So she puts her phone on and starts making the, you know, ooh, whatever the moose call sound is. And that moose came trucking back, and we have a fenced in yard. So I'm like, oh my God, man. It's going to go right through the fence, you know, and it came up and just came to our fence and hung out for like another half an hour and then decided to leave. I was like, Monica, no more moose calls.
She was taunting the moose.
Yeah, she's talking smack to the moose.
That's
and the
not,
moose did
that's
not,
not
like
smart.
It.
She was
well,
getting him hot and heavy.
She's from Maine. You know what I mean? She might have been. Who knows what that moose call was saying? I don't speak moose.
She could have been. But are you learning?
I'm learning that whatever she said got that moose turned around. I know.
Wow.
All I can tell you is that moose was going one way, heard that sound, the ear turked up, turned around, and came barreling back. So whatever she said in moose, whatever the on Google thing that said moose talk was something.
I don't think we could read it on there.
No. Yeah.
Well, it was something like, it's like, ooh, something like that. That's what it was like. So whatever that means in moose talk, that got them.
Jeff, you can't say that. The FCC might fine us.
Yeah, I mean, you have just.
I'm just telling you what it said.
You've literally lost your mind.
I know. That's exactly what happened. I'm telling you the truth.
Okay.
Time for your sports update.
The Champlain Valley Sports Station. WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh. This is 101.3 The Game. The Game. Sports trending now.
I used my A material when we were actually in the segment. What up, everybody? I'm Aaron Wells with your 101.3 The Game sports update. UVM men's basketball takes on Harvard at home tonight. Tip-off is at 7, and you can find the coverage for that game, starting with the pregame show at 6:30 right here on 101.3 The Game. In the NBA, the Celtics play the 5-20 Chicago Bulls tonight. You can find that game starting with the pregame show at 6:30 on our sister station, 960 The Zone. In the NFL, the Patriots play the Dolphins in Miami. Always a tough game for the Pats. Tomorrow at 1, we'll have the coverage starting the pregame show at 10 o'clock right here on 101.3 The Game. This 101.3 The Game sports update was brought to you by The Archives, a combination arcade and bar that focuses on vintage arcade games, unique craft beers, and creative cocktails located at 191 College Street in downtown Burlington. Now it's time for Sports Saturday, where living the dream and taking you with us on 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com, or we are always streaming, so take us anywhere on the 101.3 The Game app.
This is 101.3 The Game. Phone lines are now open. Call 802-655-6672. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Now you're playing my kind of thing. You've been playing all this new stuff usually when we come back, and this is old school. I know every word to this song. Every single word.
So then you get joke that I'm going for by putting it on the top of the second hour,
oh,
right?
Is that why you're hoping that I'm going to let it go? Like, you want me to sing this song or something on the air?
No,
that's all I say.
It takes two to make a thing go right.
Oh, well played. This is a great song. Great song. Classic. You start your Christmas shopping yet?
No.
No. So, you know, 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation. We got a lot to talk about. We got NFL to talk about. We got some more hot stove to talk about. We got all kinds of things to talk about. But I have to say, Christmas shopping now, for me, is, you know, it's a little stressful because you don't have a lot of time. You got to get out to the malls, go shop. But I know this is going to make me sound like I'm really out of it, but I've kind of figured out Amazon. You know, Amazon, you just get online, you order it, you know, and it comes. Well, you know, so I started to Christmas shop a little bit on Amazon, but I ordered myself a shirt in November.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to get things for other people, but you ordered yourself something?
Well, so I ordered, because I thought the shirt that I was buying was a gift for everybody. It was this really goofy, corny.
But who's going to wear the shirt?
Me.
Oh.
People would enjoy seeing me in this shirt, I think.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure. Well, I would enjoy wearing it. But anyway, I ordered it online. And I think it'd be funny for, you know, Christmas. I was going to wear it to the show. I was going to wear it like, you know, our Christmas show we do before the holiday starts. And, you know, I got the shirt and I ordered it. And it took 20 days to get here, number one. I don't know where it came from, but it comes and it's way too small. So So I, you know, so now that now.
Then you're not a big guy.
No, I'm not a big guy, but it's like I got. So I read that they run a little bit big. I mean, I'm sorry, they run a little bit small. So I ordered a large. I wanted like a size bigger, but I can't get around my shoulders. So I'm like, oh man. So now I can't even wear that shirt.
You can't. I mean,
so now I'm stressed out about like, should I be buying stuff like this? Should I just go out and just buy the stuff for people instead of I make sure I get what I want? But then I thought it's much easier just to do it the way I'm doing it. It comes in a couple days, and we just do it that way.
If I
could
yeah.
If I could just figure out a way, I mean, to...
then you don't have to see people. You don't have to worry about lines.
Yeah, you but don't you kind of, I kind of like the hustle and bustle of the season. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah, I do. I do kind of like it. I kind of. I think that's my favorite part of the season is like.
For a guy who's never grumpy, you want to go out and see all the grumpy hustle bustle?
Well, not everybody's grumpy out there. Some people are pretty happy.
Really?
They like to be out there. They're not like, I'd like to see, what I'd like to see happen is maybe we should put like one of those little GoPros on your head and let you go Christmas shopping.
Oh, no way. Absolutely not. That would be a no win for anybody.
So when do you start the process?
When my wife tells me to.
There you go. There he is.
If we put a GoPro on him, everyone would know he was at the bar ordering from Amazon on his phone.
All right, we're going to do some NFL picks here, obviously.
Aaron, some secrets are better left unsaid. Thank you.
But listen, sometimes that's what you have to do. I mean, that's traditions for some people. Like you go shopping and you do a little shopping and you stop off, have a cocktail, have a little refreshment, go back out, do some shopping.
How else are you going to get through it?
The problem with that, though, is the more refreshments you have, the more money you might spend. You know what I mean? And that's where you kind of, then the more money you're spending on yourself, and the next thing you know, you don't have any money in your account because, you know, you're spending all your money because you're not thinking straight. I'm just saying.
And that's why we're going to put money in people's account when we give them all of our winners here.
That's right. That's exactly right. All right, we're doing some NFL picks here right now here on Sports Saturday, 101.3 The Game. Let's start with some, go ahead. I'm sorry. You have something to say?
Oh, I was going to do the call the picks and then you guys give them.
Oh, that's how this works.
That's what I thought it was.
Oh, I forgot about that.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been. We haven't done picks in a while. All right, go ahead. Let's do this.
Panthers-Browns.
I'm going to go first. You got Cam Newton. Look, what's going on with the Panthers? They look terrible.
Well, they got a mobile quarterback. He's the guy.
Yeah,
he's
mobile quarterback with no one to throw to. And when he does throw to him, they're always above. He's Cam's struggling going into Cleveland. I really like the Browns in this situation. I think they're playing good football, solid running back. I love Baker Mayfield. I got the Browns beating the Panthers, and the Panthers are reeling, Bernie.
They are reeling, but they respond. Christian McCaffrey finds a way to get in the end zone, and the Panthers right the ship with a win.
I believe in Baker. I'm going with the Browns.
I'm with you, baby.
Ravens at Chiefs.
Nice little story, the Ravens. Nice little story here, I got to tell you. I mean, Lamar Jackson's coming in for Falco, playing good stuff. He's playing good enough football to win games. I don't think that the Ravens, I just don't take them seriously yet. I think the Chiefs are going to roll them this week. I think the Ravens were primed for a couple losses last couple weeks. Hasn't happened. I think the Chiefs roll.
And, you know, given everything that's still been going on with the Chiefs, their first home game since everything, come in and they just... play a little Madden football and score about 70 points on a very good defense.
Could happen.
I really like the Ravens. Lamar Jackson's a cool guy, but the Chiefs are going to steamroll him. I mean, come on. Colts at Texans.
A couple weeks ago, I would have told you, I think the Colts got what it takes to go in to beat the Texans. But what I saw out of Colts last week was a struggling offense. Couldn't score a point against Jacksonville. I know they got a great defense. Going in and take on, listen, we haven't even talked about this team. Maybe one of the hottest teams in football, and Texans. I got the Texans winning big.
You know, I think the Texans, you know, really figured it out after they had that loss to the Giants early in the season. And, you know, they've really come together. And I want to believe in Andrew Luck, but I just don't know they have enough to go into Houston and win, so I'll take the Texans.
Yeah, the great defense the Colts faced last week gave up 30 points to the Titans. So I'm gonna go with the Texans. Patriots at Dolphins.
You know, it's funny. A couple weeks ago, I was on the air telling you guys that I think the Patriots were over. It was all over. It was Kansas City's league now. Push over New England, and now all of a sudden, you were telling me, I give you your props, Byron. You're probably right. I think it's the AFC's division to win or lose by the Patriots. I think the Patriots are going to be in a position to have the home field. And if they do, I don't know if anyone can beat them the way they play at home. And I think right now the Patriots are so focused and ready to go because no one's been talking about them. They go into Miami. I know that Miami's been a horror show for them lately. They're going to roll Miami. They're going to beat them big time. I got the Pats.
You know, the Patriots always struggle in Miami. It's just one of those things. There will be no struggles tomorrow. This will not be pretty, and Arnie will be very upset.
Healthy Josh Gordon. Sony Michel's back, as far as I know. I think the Pats are going to steamroll the Dolphins. I've used that twice
now. What a surprise, though. What a surprise. You think the Pats are going to roll?
You took the Pats.
Is that amazing? You took the Patriots?
No way.
I can't believe you did that.
Do you guys not remember the last time they played the Dolphins? I was worried.
I'm just
it wasn't
saying.
That long ago.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah, they beat them. That's kind of what
but,
I'm...
But how bad?
I actually don't remember.
Yeah, they smashed.
Yeah, that's why... That's, yeah.
So don't be worried.
All right. Giants at Redskins.
I mean, listen. If the Redskins were healthy and they had their quarterback under center, I would pick the Redskins. But, you know, Mark Sanchez is your quarterback. There's more pressure on the Giants now because Mark Sanchez is a quarterback of the Washington Redskins. I'm going to take the Giants.
The Giants still keep their mathematical hopes alive to win the division by getting a win.
Yeah, I'm going with the Giants. I just think, you know, Redskins, not that great. Giants. Saints at Bucks.
Saints and Bucks, I mean, I think the Saints are one of the best teams in the league, but I think you saw what they are on the road. I think they're going to struggle. I think the Buccaneers are playing really good football. It's a tough pick because I think the Saints will find a way to win, but it's going to be close.
You know, it's Drew Brees outside the dome, and that's always a concern for people. Not for me. The Buccaneers are in shambles, and the Saints roll.
Bucks don't have a quarterback right now. They can't figure it out.
They have two of them.
Well, first of all, Winston. Well,
yeah, two and zero.
Jameis Winston's played really good football the last couple of weeks. Don't sleep on Jameis Winston.
Hey, I'm going with the Saints. Drew Brees, you know, might struggle out of the dome, but not against the Bucks. And, you know, Alvin Kamara, man. Bengals at Chargers. Oh, wait, nope. That's later. Falcons at Packers.
Falcons at Packers, I think, and obviously what's happened to it there, the head coach being fired in Green Bay.
Which was a shame.
Yeah, it's too bad the way that went down, but you got to feel, I mean, I don't know, I think the Falcons are just, they're free-falling. The Packers will win the game. I think it'll be closer than you think, though.
You know, the Packers lose at home last week to the Cardinals in a shock to everybody. Is there still going to continue or... You know, it's a hard one to tell. I'm going to take the Falcons in this one. I think, you know, a little bit of pride and no pressure, they get a win.
Is Joe Philbin starting as the coach today or tomorrow? Do we know that?
That's my understanding.
He's head coach.
Okay. First game with a new coach, and it's Joe Philbin. I'm going to go with the Falcons. Right. Jets at Bills.
I got the Bills this one. I think the Bills' defense is going to take care of the Jets. The Jets had lost a tough one. I just feel like it's over for the Jets this season. They're kind of playing that way. Last week was a tough loss against Tennessee. The big lead, they blew it late. I think the Bills win at home.
Yeah, I think the Bills' defense is just really good, and they're playing well. And the Jets are in trouble.
The Jets are the Jets.
I'm going with the Jets. I just feel like they're going to eke this one out. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. Bengals at Chargers.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about the Chargers last week. What a comeback win against Pittsburgh this past Sunday night in Pittsburgh, a game that they really had to have. They're playing the Bengals, which are just falling apart. I think the Chargers win by a long shot.
Yeah, great quarterback who hasn't won a Super Bowl gets a win against the Bengals. Philip Rivers.
Can you imagine
Chargers.
If the Giants had Philip Rivers? Can you imagine?
Nope.
Oh, they would be. They'd have three or four more champions.
No, they wouldn't.
Yes, they would.
No, they wouldn't.
They'd at least have won a couple more games, I think. Chargers, really good. I think they're sleepers. I think they're going to take the Bengals for a ride all the way, Chargers. Broncos at Niners.
I think the Broncos. You got to like what the Broncos are doing. I mean, a team that nobody was very high on them going into the season. They're playing good football. The 49ers are kind of a mess. They're not real healthy. I expect the Broncos to go on the road and win. That'd be two wins in a row for the Broncos on the road.
Yeah, just too many injuries. The 49ers, just not consistent. Broncos, again, with that really good defense, still playing for something. They get a win.
Who is that running back that they've got? Philip Lindsay? Is that his name?
Something. Yeah.
That dude is a stud. I'm going with the Broncos.
Guy's got good hair.
He does. He's got great hair.
Good crop, man.
Yeah. Eagles at Cowboys.
You know, everyone's on the Cowboys, and I can see why they're playing good defense, but the Cowboys are still the Cowboys. I'm just telling you, you can't win a championship with Dak Prescott. I don't know if they score enough points. The Eagles' defense is really uncomfortable for you to pick them right now, but you got to like I like the quarterback in Philly. I think it's a coin flip. I'm going to go with the Cowboys because they're home, but I would not be surprised if Philadelphia went on the road and won.
So what was the pick?
I said I'm going to pick the Cowboys.
Okay.
But wouldn't be surprised if Philadelphia won. I think it's going to be a close game. I just don't trust Dak Prescott.
Gotcha. So, you know, I mentioned after the 1 o'clock win, the Giants will still be mathematically alive. By 7:30, right. The Giants will be mathematically eliminated because the Cowboys will win this game.
All right. Cowboys can't win a Super Bowl, maybe, but they can beat a bad Eagles team. Believe in Zeke, Cowboys all the way. Steelers at the Raiders.
The Raiders will cover this. I think the numbers on this is +11, but I think the Steelers will win. But I'll tell you, the Steelers are going the wrong way, Bernie. I don't like what I'm seeing there.
Yes, just a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes, and I think that continues. I think the Raiders find another level, and this is my upset for the week.
Yeah, they're going to beat them on the road. That's a bold pick. I don't know about that, but that's a bold pick.
Steelers. It's going to be the Steelers. Raiders are so bad.
Yeah, but look what the Raiders did last week against Kansas City at home. You know, they scored 33
points. John Gruden.
Listen, don't doubt what John Gruden
is
doing.
No, he was great in 2002.
Don't doubt what John Gruden is doing. Just wait. Just wait and see.
You got to tear it down to build it up.
And that's what he's doing. Just wait and see what he's doing.
Gave away Khalil Mack, man. Lions at the Cardinals.
Lions at the Cardinals. They got another game. I think you go, what way could it go? Cardinals go on the road last week and beat Green Bay in Green Bay, which is impressive. Rosen's playing pretty good at the quarterback position. The Lions are banged up. I'm going to take the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals get it done at home.
I'm going to go the other way. I think the Lions got a little too much offensively. I think they're due to have a big game, and I think it's this Sunday.
Cardinals still haven't figured it out. We talked about teams in free fall a little earlier in this segment. I think if there's any one team in the NFL that's really in free fall mode right now, it's the Cardinals. I'm going with the Lions.
It's Green Bay.
Not a healthy Aaron Rodgers. And can you name anyone else on that offense?
Devontae receiver. Adams. Devontae Adams is one of the best wide receivers in the game. They're running back had averaged over 100 yards of every.
The running back's a no-name. Devontae Adams a number two at best. Why he's their number one? Because they've got no one else. Because
Cobb is coming back this week.
Please.
You are still at the Christmas party. You're still at the Christmas party.
Are you a Packer hater that much?
I'm not a Packer hater. They used to be good. They're not good.
Why aren't they good?
Aaron Rodgers is playing with nobody else.
All right. And no coach.
Yeah, no coach. He's got Joe Philbin jumping in out of nowhere. Please. Rams-Bears.
Game of the week, I think, in my opinion. The Bears coming off a tough loss against the Giants. A really good defense. Their quarterback, Trubisky's coming back. You got to like them. But I just got to tell you, man, this Rams team puts up points. Oof. And if the Giants can put up, close to 30 on them, I can imagine what the Rams will do. People are on the Bears. I'm going to say the Rams win this game on the road.
All right. Hold up. Let's back it up.
Okay, fair enough.
The Giants put 30 on the Bears. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. 7 was off a touch interception.
That's a good point. That's true.
Another 3 was off of the fumble by the...
very true.
Another 7 off of a trick play.
Very true.
So there's 17. There was 1 sustained drive, and another 3 was off a 56-yard field goal.
You're absolutely right.
They really scored 10 points.
Yeah, and they looked terrible in the first half.
Yes.
That's
so,
very true.
I mean,
very true.
As much as I want to, hey, Eli scored 30 on the Bears.
I'm going
to say that this Bears team steps up, they get their starting quarterback back, and they beat the Rams.
Bears got a great defense, but the Rams got an incredible offense, and even with Mitch Trubisky playing, I don't think the Bears have a good enough offense to stay in it. I think it's the Rams.
Before you move on to the next game, but I am interested to see Trubisky against this team, though, because Trubisky's that kind of quarterback where I'm like, is he a great quarterback, or are we, is he just having one of those years?
Well, and it's also, okay, shoulder injury, he's been out a couple of weeks, is he going to gunsling, is he going to run, is he going to be tentative, so a lot of, and I will say, though, it'll be a fun game to watch.
It definitely will.
Vikings at the Seahawks.
I've been on the Vikings all year. I've always thought, I just kept thinking.
Yeah, they're going to go into New England and give them a game.
Yeah,
right,
I was
Jeff?
Wrong again. Yeah. I own it, man. If I'm wrong, I'll tell you I'm wrong. But this Viking team has not turned the corner like I thought they would. The Seahawks, however, have. The Seahawks.
The who?
The Seahawks. The Hot Dogs.
Seahawks.
Anyway, I think the Seahawks get it done against Minnesota at home.
I think I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to buy in on your Vikings just a week later. I think, they were kind of shell-shocked in Foxborough, and I was really impressed with the wide receiver going after Billy Belichick.
Yeah,
on the sideline.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And just showing some fight there. And I think they find a way to go out west and get a win.
Well, as Jeff said, and as I've said in the past, and you guys I think made fun of me, the Vikings have been kind of a disappointment this year. Still, I don't think the Seahawks have it figured out. I'm going with the Vikings.
Well, there you go. Those are your picks. I will say before we get into something, you got to get off John Gruden. I'm telling you, watch what John Gruden does with the Raiders. When they go to Vegas, a couple years they're going to be a team to be. And everyone's down on Gruden with what he's doing and trading Mac and getting all these picks. He knows what he has right now, what he's trying to build. I'm telling you, this. I mean, Mac is a great player. I understand the process there, and I understand getting rid of Amari Cooper may not look good for this season, but what this guy's going to do it'll be the Vegas Rams pretty soon is going to be special. I believe in Gruden. I think he's a good coach.
Vegas Raiders.
Vegas Raiders. Did I say Rams?
Yeah.
Vegas Raiders. I apologize. Yeah, I think he's a
great coach. Everybody's moving around out
there. They're all going
Chargers,
all over the place.
Rams,
that's right.
Raiders.
That's why I keep saying San Diego Chargers. I can't say the L.A. Chargers.
Nah.
I just can't do it.
When he puts a 2018 offensive scheme on the field, I'll feel better about it.
But
when he gets some players,
I'm just saying, just,
he doesn't have any players.
Just wait and see. Like, don't jump on this.
He's running his no players with his same old offense from before.
Right. So when he gets some players, he'll run a new offense.
You think he's gonna just like come out of nowhere with something like what the Chiefs are running?
I know we have to take a break here, but what kind of offense? What are you talking about? Like, I mean, I don't understand your mindset. Everything, like, football is football. You try. You.
Everything I've heard.
Everything
from all
you've
the
heard.
Analysts.
These analysts. What? Seriously, the analysts.
Analysts like Mina Kimes, who is a very, very legitimate analyst.
Yeah, okay.
Have said that he's running an offense that is antiquated and everyone knows what's coming.
Okay, but right now with what he has and what he's trying to do, that might be the best case for what his team is. I'm telling you, give this guy.
We had to take a break.
We do have to take a break, but give this guy his props. I think he's going to build an organization. He's going to build a team. They're going to be a playoff contender in a couple years. I'm telling you right now. He knows what he's doing. I like Gruden. I do.
I think he's a great guy.
I think he's a good coach. I think he's going to get it done. I think with what he's doing there right now, he's building something. I think it's going to be special in Vegas for the Raiders. I do. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, get your fantasy football questions ready because our boy Jake Kent comes up right next.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Get me all salty about bashing on my boy Gruden, Aaron Wells.
Well, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where
bashing up the Green Bay Packers like they're not a good football team. Like,
well, they're not.
No, they're not a
good
football
team.
But don't act like Arizona going in there isn't a big win for a young quarterback against a team, and a comeback win like that against a team. Look, they may not be a great football team against the elite teams, but Green Bay's still a relevant football team. They still had a playoff opportunity. I mean, the NFL's got so much parity in it that when you go on the road and an Arizona team that's run by a young quarterback goes on the road and wins, you got to give them something for that. I think that gives them.
Aaron Rodgers isn't on the field, they're like a bottom three team.
Well, you can say that by a lot of. You wonder about a lot of teams that are quarterback dominant like that. I mean, I'm sure that's true. But I mean, when you look at pick every team, you take their quarterback off the field.
So if Eli's off the field, the Giants are bottom three team.
Giants are a bottom three team anyway.
No, now you're being.
I mean, come on.
Now you're not being nice.
They just beat the best defense in the NFL.
They did. But
they scored 10 points
because the defense did that. But and how? Yeah. Anyway. All right. Listen. Get your fantasy football questions going here. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation. Ask our boy Jake Ken a question. You can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. It is playoff time. If you're a fantasy, I think everybody should be in the playoffs by now, right?
You would think so.
I would think so. So it's fantasy football playoff time. I know that my league's in. Bernie's league is in. Neither of us are in the playoffs. But I'm not going to finish last. And as I said numerous times, I don't have to get my ear pierced now, which is good because I didn't want to have to do that. The earring piece, wearing it in a picture, I guess would be funny once in a while, but having to get the ear pierced itself would be a real problem.
Nah, that wouldn't hurt.
No, it would hurt. I think it would.
No, it wouldn't.
You're sticking a needle through my earlobe.
They'll numb it up. You'll be fine.
They don't numb it up, I don't think. I've seen my nieces do it. I've taken my nieces to get their ears pierced. Numb them up.
The ones in the lobe hurt very briefly. Anything else on your ear is probably going to hurt a lot worse. My girlfriend just got a loop up in the top.
Yeah.
If they made you get one up there, that'd be a lot worse. You can't sleep on it for two months.
No. We're not doing anything like that. Well, the good news is I'm not in last place, so we're fine.
Till next year.
Right. There's a good chance of that next year. All right. On the TikTok Leaders guest line, our fantasy football guru, Jake Kent, joins us. Good morning, Jake. How you doing, buddy?
Guys, I'm great. It's playoff time. It's Christmas time. Today's my birthday. It's a great day.
Oh, today's your birthday. Happy birthday, buddy.
Wow.
This is it. Thank you. The wife and I are down in some kind of Christmas festival in Woodstock. It's like 9 degrees, so it's a beautiful morning.
25 again?
Yeah, over and over. No, I'm 32. 32 years old for everybody who wondered.
Again, huh? Be 32 again. That'd be awesome. Now, the town of you said you're in Woodstock?
Yeah, we're doing they have like a Christmas festival thing. Yeah.
Did you ever see the movie Funny Farm with Chevy Chase?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Woodstock. It's like the cutest little Vermont town. It's like exactly what you picture. Is. It's a really nice town to enjoy. Yeah. Enjoy your day down there.
Thank you. Yeah, we went on a sleigh ride last night. It's been very Christmassy, so it's been great.
Look at that.
So here we are, playoffs though, right? Like, and it's a weird it's a weird week for the playoffs. Some people have bye weeks. Congratulations to those folks, particularly this year, because some of the top offenses in the league have the absolute worst possible matchups you could have for week one of the playoffs, which is really unfortunate. So, like the Chiefs, the Steelers, both have playing against top defenses. Patrick Mahomes, the opposition gives up almost the fewest points to quarterbacks in the league. It's third or fourth. Even DeAndre Hopkins in Houston, they have a terrible matchup with the Indy defense. So it's a tough week to kick off the playoffs.
Yeah, so like obviously Leonard Fournette laid an egg last night on Thursday night for anybody that's got Leonard Fournette on their team. But you know, guys like Josh, do you trust guys like Josh Adams? Do you trust Frank Gore? Do you trust Johnson from Cleveland? I mean, are these the guys? Do you trust these guys this week?
Yeah, good questions. And yeah, speaking of unfortunate, man, if somebody was brave enough to start Derrick Henry and he buried you with 60, 70 points. I saw one league, he had 100 points because of their scoring. Like, it's just absolutely so mind-blowing what he did. And that's the guy that we believed he could be, and he's just never done that. And so good for him for showing up. But, man, what a way to go out if you have to play that guy this week. So, so a couple of guys, you mentioned a couple of others. So last week, we talked about the idea of starting Josh Allen in a pretty positive matchup. He'd come off 26 points the week before. He's looked pretty good at times in Buffalo, which is just kind of amazing given that all he has is Zay Jones. But then he comes out last week and he goes for 28 points. So the kid has been really productive over the last couple of weeks. And he has a pretty good overall matchup. He's rushed for almost 250 yards over the last couple weeks. So it's not like he has to go out there and be Aaron Rodgers precise with his arms to rack up points. I think he's going to have another week where we see him, get the legs in motion, rack up some yards, hit some big plays, and he could very well be a spot starting quarterback for week one of the playoffs.
How about Spencer Ware or Mark Ingram?
Yeah, so Spencer Ware, everybody kind of disappointed last week. To me, he's the same Spencer Ware he's always been. I mean, we dealt with this when it was Charcandrick West and Spencer Ware in Kansas City when Jamal Charles got hurt a few years ago. He's an okay back, and he's done some good things at times. But and again, certainly last week he was in a perfect spot and just really didn't capitalize, which was disappointing. I think that, again, he can be productive, and he's a guy who's in a pretty good spot overall. You just don't really know with the Chiefs being big favorites from week to week how that's going to pan out in terms of the game script. Again, they have a pretty tough matchup overall, particularly Patrick Mahomes and the receivers have bad matchups. So I think he's a guy that if you picked him up, you were probably in need of a running back, which means you're probably going to have to go out and start him. He's not my favorite guy in the world to have to start probably week one of the playoffs. But if you have him, you're likely going to go ahead and go out and do that. He's probably that sort of 12 to 15 point range in a bad matchup, right? I mean, depending on how you rank them exactly, they're top five against running backs, So maybe the game stays close, which is actually good for him. I think you're going to start him if you have him.
So an interesting stat, Aaron just gave me this. And from that Tennessee game, you guys listen to this. So the Tennessee Titans had 15 carries in that game. Henry had 17. Henry had 238 yards, and the rest of the team had 26 yards on the ground.
Unbelievable.
That is absolutely crazy. So let's just say you're in a predicament this week. Your matchups aren't good, and you're trying to find somebody on the waiver wire. You have an injury that just popped up. Who's the guy you're trying to grab, whether he's a running back or a wide receiver?
Yeah, so a couple guys. And to finish, I didn't answer your question about Mark Ingram. Much better spot for Mark Ingram. So, yes, you're rolling him out if you have him. I think I like him for 15-plus points this week. In general, he's a guy I'm targeting in daily fantasy situations as well. So I think he's definitely a guy you can lean on. So we've talked about Josh Allen. If you're brave enough to start Josh Allen, you might as well start him with Zay Jones, since he's the only guy with any talent in Buffalo. That's a guy who, not surprisingly, is widely available in most leagues. You can go out and start. You can start the combo, right? Like at some point, if you're in the kind of situation where you need to start a Josh Allen, you need that kind of upside, you might as well go for broke and just start both in tandem. So start the wide receiver quarterback combo, Zay Jones and Josh Allen. I think that's very viable. I think another passing offense that we've seen take a turn for the better over the last few weeks, the Dallas Cowboys. since Amari Cooper got there, things have been a lot better. And that's freeing up Michael Gallup, the rookie we talked about way back in the beginning of the year. We talked about Anthony Miller and Michael Gallup kind of being the top receiving potential guys for this year as rookies, and both have done good things at times. But I think Michael Gallup, he saw 7 targets last week. If they're going to get him 5 to 8 targets, if he's going to get plus matchups with Amari Cooper drawing the attention of defenses, he's definitely a guy who could get some run over the next couple of weeks, especially this week against the banged-up Eagles team, who we know Jeff doesn't like, so they can't be very good. And, you know, so I think Michael Gallup is a guy that, again, at receiver you can go get. And then sort of lastly, we've talked about this guy before, and he's never really shown up when we want him to, but Antonio Callaway of the Browns, Baker Mayfield obviously been much improved, takeaway last week, been much improved in recent weeks. He's another receiver you could go get if you really needed to.
Jake, so I guess my final question for you would be, with the season basically ending up here pretty soon for people, who's the most disappointing player that you can think of for the season?
You know, I think there's probably a couple guys who could go in that group. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell is the obvious answer.
Right.
He was getting drafted even the week before the season. He was getting drafted, you know, 2nd and 3rd overall. Some cases, 1st overall, 1st pick in the draft. In fact, I myself nearly took him in one of my last drafts of the preseason. I had the 1st overall pick. It really came down between him and Gurley. For me, in that particular league, it's a non-PPR league, which raises the importance of touchdowns. And so I ended up going with Gurley, who's been a monster this year, and especially in the touchdown category. But just that close, right? Like, you're just that close to between being in the playoffs, being the number one team. I actually ended up picking up James Conner just after the draft, knowing that he didn't show up for camp. So that's the kind of seasons people have had, where you either went Gurley and picked up James Conner late in your draft or after the draft, or you went Le'Veon Bell, and it's been a mostly a waste of a season, probably. So obviously he was wildly disappointing. For me personally, I really liked Randall Cobb coming into the year. I really thought the Green Bay passing attack as a number two receiver, if he could get healthy, I really thought he was a guy who was way underdrafted. He was being drafted way too late. And he just hasn't been able to get healthy. We've started to see some young talent emerge there in Marquez Valdez-Scantling and the kid out of St. Brown, Equanimeous St. Brown out of Notre Dame. Those guys started to emerge. He couldn't get healthy. So that's one of the guys I kind of missed on this year and felt like, what could have been kind of guy.
Trey Burton's my guy, the tight end for the Bears. I was so high
on
him.
Yeah, he's another good example.
I was so high on him going into the season. I thought he was a steal. You know, everybody, and I was kind of holding out. I got him late, and I thought that I was going to be, but he's been a real disappointment.
And
yeah, I mean, I always, each year I try and identify a team that I'm really big on that not a lot of people are talking about. And in the past, you know, that's worked out great. And this year, that team for me was the Bears, and it's really kind of been a mixed bag, to your point. I was very high on Trey Burton, and I was very high on not drafting a quarterback as always, which meant Mitch Trubisky was very viable. I have him in several leagues just because I wasn't taking quarterbacks early, and I thought that offense could be good. I have a lot of Tariq Cohen. I have some Jordan Howard. So that offense has kind of halfway done what I wanted them to do, which is Tariq Cohen has been an absolute stud at times. Mitch Trubisky has been a stud at times. But largely Anthony Miller, Allen Robinson, Trey Burton, to your point, have all sort of been a letdown, though they've shown good things at times. So, you know, I'll sort of some hits there, some misses there, but the Bears, I thought, had a little more to offer this year.
Speaking of Trubisky, do you trust them this week?
Oh, good question. I think there are, I need to look at his matchup again. He's not a guy that I've looked at really closely as a start this week. I'm starting him in the leagues that I have him. You know, the Rams, not great against quarterbacks. The question is, when they really dial up the pressure and really start to get to a guy, things can fall apart quick. And so I think they're somewhere around 20th or 22nd in the league in points given up to opposing quarterback. That's a pretty friendly matchup overall in a game that you anticipate could kind of go one of two ways here, which is both defenses capable of shutting down elements of the opposing team's offense, but both teams also very capable of this turning into a very high-scoring game. So I'm not really sure what to expect from this game. If it turns into an offensive affair, if they don't have one of the games where they're really getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback, yes, I think Trubisky can thrive. am I taking that chance? Oddly enough, I might. Let me answer it this way, as always. If I need safety, if I need floor, if I need 15 points and nothing more, I'm probably starting Trubisky. If I need the upside, if I need someone to go for 22, 25, I'm probably going to roll out a Josh Allen type guy in a great matchup.
Jake, you're the man, buddy. Enjoy your little Wade time on your birthday.
Thank
and
you.
And the sleigh rides. And the, you know, I'd like to see the big fella in a sleigh ride. Bernie take a nice sleigh ride.
Nah,
to Patrick Gym today.
It's the time, man. It's a little cold, but you know, a lot of fun.
You're a good husband, man. I got to tell you, because I'd be telling my wife like, not happening. Like, I'm not. It's too way too cold for that for me.
You know. Get you a bowl of chili on the way, Jeff. You'll be just fine.
Okay. Oh, maybe a bowl of chili. Maybe I do it. All right, my brother. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Jake.
Hey,
thanks,
listen, playoff time. Pay attention. He can fix you, but I don't know. A sleigh ride. I don't know. I probably would. She'd be like, come on. And I'd be like, all right, I'll get in it. But I need to have a blanket. Dude, the biggest problem I have with a sleigh ride is you ever see the Seinfeld episode where Kramer gave the horse
the beans
the cannelloni or cannelloni or something? Rusty! Like, Rusty! I always... Maybe one of the greatest Seinfelds ever.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good one. Yeah, so I don't know if I'd be doing that, but. All right, we're taking a quick break. When we come back, it's hot or not time. And we got plenty because we're all salty today. We're kind of annoyed. Well, I'm kind of salty today. I'm a little annoyed. I'm not in a great mood. It's been a rough week, long week burn. Now I want to get into a fight with you with hot or not.
Let's
go. Don't
go
anywhere.
I wouldn't bother with those winter coats because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's time for Hot or Not on 101.3 The Game.
Hot or Not time here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. I'm your host, Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki. Riding shotgun with me today. Good to have you. This is good when we were here consistently, me and you together.
It's great.
I like it. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. You have a good time.
Yes, we do.
Aaron, what do we got today for Hot or Not?
Hot or Not is thanks to Superb Cupcakes in Williston. My mic's really loud. Hold on. You guys hear that nasty screech as I started to talk?
It always sounds like that. I don't know what you're talking about.
We're just used to it.
Is that just me?
It might be.
Maybe I'm just annoying. Hot or Not is thanks to Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taft's Corner Shopping Center in Williston for the best cupcakes around. They won't disappoint, offering a large variety of regular and mini cupcakes, as well as edible cookie dough daily. They're open every day but Monday. Get them early, as hours are subject to change if they sell out. Superb Cupcakes is now taking orders for holiday-themed cupcakes. Is that still going on?
That is still going on.
That is still going on.
I'm going to tell you something about those guys. Like, they make the best cupcakes. We've talked about this on the air many times. I think next week or the week after, I'm going to bring you guys in some cupcakes. You haven't been down to Superb Cupcakes yet. You guys can try these things. They're unbelievable. But I will say that Joe, the owner, Joe and Hannah, they own it together. The great couple. Joe is the biggest Eagles fan you ever met. Such a Eagles homer, Bernie. Such an Eagles
bigger
homer.
Than our boy?
Oh, bigger than our boy. Bigger than AC, this
no
guy.
No way.
Because I'll tell you the difference. AC can tell you, he'll tell you when the Eagles stink.
Mm-hmm.
Joe never thinks the Eagles stink. Doesn't matter what they're doing, they're always about. He is. You talk about Homer.
Well, that's okay. I mean,
it's good to. You know, we're homers, but I mean, at least
You're not a homer.
I'm not a homer. That's a good point. I'm not a homer. That's a good point. Yeah. I am not a homer.
I'm a homer.
I tell you how it is. You're a homer. You're an Eli homer.
Yes.
Yes, you're an Eli homer. Okay. All right. Anyway, but I love Joe and I love Hannah. Go check out their cupcakes in Williston. Honestly, this is the season to eat whatever it is you want. You don't have to worry about the waistline. This is the season to eat whatever it is you need. It's the holidays. No matter what you celebrate, go get yourself some cupcakes at Superb Cupcakes and Wills.
Aaron Donald deserves NFL MVP so far.
Great season for him. I'm going to say not. I mean, I can debate a few players that could be the MVP. And I think Gurley is a guy that you could like as MVP. I love Mahomes. I think Pat Mahomes is just insanely good. I think he deserves some look at for MVP. And even Saquon Barkley. I think Barkley deserves a look at MVP. Talk about a guy that's carrying an offense. It's Saquon Barkley. This kid's unbelievable.
Come on, Jeff.
Donald's, I'm telling you, Donald's having a great year. Don't get me wrong, but he's not the league MVP.
Now, I'm a believer in this a little bit, and I'm a believer that this team can get to the Super Bowl, but there's a lot of people that don't.
I watch the Rams. Sometimes they're kind of soft. Warm weather teams, kind of soft. You know who's never soft? Baltimore's not always great. They're never soft. New England's not over. Philadelphia, you know, Seattle, they're not always great. They're never soft. So I am out on the Rams as a Super Bowl team. I think they're glamorous and they're fun and they're exciting and they're a lot of things. But I think they'll go to Chicago. They'll be a little cold and uncomfortable. And I think the Bears on Monday morning are the team we're going, watch out.
I disagree with him. I disagree with him. I know Colin's got his, he's got his hot takes. I get all that stuff, but I think the Rams are at a different level, and that offense goes on the road. I think it gets it done. I'd have to see it first. And I'm not sure the Bears are there yet. I just don't think they are.
So back to the hot or not.
Sure.
Aaron Donald, MVP. You know, it's a great argument, a great conversation piece. I think the team is right there, but I think, you know, the MVP might even be on the other side of the ball, sure, on the same team in Todd Gurley. I think it's a great debate. I think these last four games are going to really dictate how that vote is. Will he be the defensive player of the year? I mean, I think that's a lock already. NFL MVP, I think that's still up for debate.
Sure.
And he's in the conversation. So, but right now I'm going to say not.
Man, how rustled would everyone be if a defensive tackle won MVP?
Why?
Because
he's the best player.
But defensive players never win. And he's a defensive tackle, of all things. Not even a corner, a safety, or an end, something glamorous.
His numbers are insane, though, for where he plays.
They're incredible.
Yeah, he's a great player. No question about that.
If Kyler Murray wins the Heisman, he'll change his mind and declare for the NFL draft.
Yeah, this kid's going to play baseball. He's a great college quarterback, and he's a lot of fun to watch. And, boy, that Oklahoma offense is unbelievable. But he's going to be a baseball player, Burn.
I mean, and I hope for himself he stays into baseball, because the initial money he gets and yeah, all of those different types of things and the wear and tear on the body, and he can always try to go back, but I gotta say he's gonna stay in baseball.
And he's an Oakland Athletic. You know who the farm system for the Oakland Athletics are, right? Maybe he'll be a Vermont Lake Monster for a half an hour or something. Maybe we'll get a little chance to see him play here.
That'd be cool.
That'd be pretty neat.
That's what Brady was rooting for, but I was thinking if he's gonna go single A, he might just choose to go football anyway.
Why?
Well, but these guys, they don't just start them single A and they're stuck there. It's a process for them. And if Kyler's the player that they think he is, but I think baseball, it might be the way to go for a kid like that. I think he's the player that he'd be a good baseball player.
Hey, if he's good enough to play in the big leagues anytime soon, he can get a much bigger contract with far fewer health risks.
Exactly.
That's right.
Georgia should have made the college playoffs.
Not after what I saw against Alabama last week.
Beat them.
Yeah, it almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. That's a football team that had a chance to win. They made terrible decisions down the stretch. That fake punt, like what is going on there? They had their chance to get themselves in this playoff, and they blew it.
Yeah, they played their way out of it, and you know, I mean, as much as I would love to see them get another shot at Alabama, that loss to LSU just crippled their ability to have that argument. Two losses, you know, Oklahoma, everybody's a champion, and in the four, and they got it right.
Kawhi Leonard is the best player in the NBA right now.
You want to take this one first, Bernie?
Wow. I'm going to say not. I think he's right there, but I'll take Giannis, I'll take Steph, I'll take LeBron, and then Russell Westbrook.
Oh, Russ, man.
Anthony Davis. I mean, he's really good, but I mean, I just, you know, there are five guys right there who are in for debate. I don't think he's the best player in the league right now.
Now, I'm going to say hot. I think he is. I think what he's doing with Toronto is amazing. I think Toronto's got a good basketball team, but what he's been able to do there is spectacular. I think his skill set tells you he's the best player. I know there's debate, obviously, when you talk about guys like LeBron James, and you mentioned some of those names, but I think right now with his age and what he's being able to do, he's the man.
You think he's better than Giannis? You think he's better than Malcolm Brogdon? I'm shocked.
Well, he can shoot from farther than 12 feet.
I mean, I think Giannis is kind of a different position. I mean, I think.
But we're saying the best player.
But I think he is. I think Kawhi is the best player. I think Giannis is. I don't want to stumble over my words here, but I think Giannis is one of the best. I think he's top two or three in the league. But I think when you look at what Kawhi's done.
So right now, you're an NBA owner. You have the number one pick. You're taking Kawhi Leonard.
I am.
I want to schedule you.
I am.
All right. So there's been talk about NBA tanking. There's been talk about teams moving for pieces. Cleveland yesterday got some big pieces in terms of draft picks when they traded with the Bucks and the Wizards. But everyone who's going for the number one pick is thinking Zion Williamson, as far as most people believe.
Yep.
Number five is drafting Zion Williamson first overall would be a mistake.
Go ahead, Bernie. Wait, with your big blue Duke sweatshirt on.
Oh, man. I am going to say, for an organization, it is not a mistake, because you will sell tickets, you will have that electric, explosive athlete. I mean, he missed two dunks against Hartford the other day that were more impressive than dunks he's made. I think you're going to do that just for the namesake and for the excitement. Will that be in the best interest of the organization at the end of the day? It depends if he can develop a jump shot.
I'm going to say not. I think this kid, he reminds me of a young LeBron James. I mean, this is the kind of kid that's got this package here that he just, he's a different level type of talent. There's things he have to develop. What is he, 18 years old? There's no question about that.
And isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Like,
yes, it's crazy.
He's 18 years old.
Yeah. And he's insanely good. I mean, we'll see how good he is once we get into the ACC schedule and Tony Bennett gets his hands on him a little bit. We'll see what happens then. But I think I think this kid is the best pure athlete basketball player that coming out. I think this is like the Saquon Barkley coming out of the NFL last year, I think, in my opinion. I think he's that special. But Duke has two other guys on that team that are that special as well. So, right,
but they're a little more polished.
Agreed.
Basketball players who have deep range.
Zion is a freak. I mean, he's just different. I mean, stronger, bigger, aggressive. Like, he is just, you know, the other guys you can kind of game plan for and maybe take away a little bit. Zion is just, I don't know how you game plan for Zion. He's unbelievable. I'm intrigued to see what happens with him in the NBA.
Game plan for Zion: back off him, force him right, make him shoot a 15 footer, and block out.
Yeah, but he's a 250 pound guy. He's like, it's not easier said than done here.
Of course.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, his physicality.
But you can still game plan for him.
You can game plan for him, but it doesn't mean you got athletes that can do it. Physicality. He's more physical, bigger, and stronger than anybody else. It's like watching, what's his name, Henry run his run 99 yards.
Fair enough.
Re-signing Nathan Eovaldi keeps the Red Sox the definitive team to beat.
I'm going to go first. Come on, not. I mean, if Nathan Eovaldi keeps you as the team to beat, then you have then the rest of the league has a problem. Good pitcher, you know, number three starter kind of guy. I can't imagine him. You know, he's injury prone. Two Tommy John surgeries. I mean, I'm not jumping on. I'm not doing that yet. Eovaldi's a good pitcher. Probably a good pickup for the Red Sox as it keeps him away from the Yankees, but I wouldn't go nuts with that.
I mean, I guess, wouldn't you have to say hot? Because until you beat them, they're going to be the team to beat.
They are the title holders. They've got the belt.
But the reading of this is re-signing Eovaldi keeps the Red Sox the team to beat. So that him himself keeps them where they need to be.
But they just won with him there at that level, okay. So they're not going anywhere.
Yeah. I'm going to say not. Okay. I said a big emphatic not for that.
I love Yankee fans.
You should.
All right, everyone listening at home, get ready for some yelling. Fans should give Odell Beckham Jr. a pass for the onside kick incident.
Please, I'm going first. Not. Like, what is wrong with Odell Beckham Jr.? Can you please explain to me what's going on in that guy's head? Elite talent, great player, unbelievable. You can't, whenever the Giants have the ball, you're waiting to see what he could do. But I just don't think, Bernie, that Odell Beckham Jr. is a winner. I don't think he's a winning player. He just does. I mean, what? And if you didn't see the game last week, we talked about a little bit earlier. Onside kick. The Giants are up a touchdown with a minute or two to play. He's on the hands team. The ball's bouncing. He kind of, I don't know what he was doing.
Nothing.
Didn't attack the ball. Did nothing. Allowed the kid from Chicago to pick the ball up. Chicago down the scores. Giants end up winning the game late with a field goal. But just not good stuff out of the Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say not. I don't understand. I guess I understand his explanation, and I want to believe it, and I want to buy in, but
yeah.
Something just doesn't sit right with me. You know, I just, it's just another chapter in the saga known as Odell Beckham.
Yeah, you know, you just wonder, and you seriously wonder, can the Giants win with Odell Beckham Jr.? I mean, you know, even no matter what they do, I mean, he's a talent, we get that, but I don't know if he's a. I don't know.
Things are good. They want to play spoiler. Then they, you know, bump in the road against the Eagles, and what's he doing?
Yeah,
calling out the coach.
Yeah, I mean, he's interesting. Just, it's interesting. He's an interesting.
And maybe he's right. It's just interesting, and I just.
But you may be right. But you just got paid. Okay, you just got paid all this money. You're supposed to be the leader on the team, so you keep that stuff in house. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. Like, all this money for Odell Beckham Jr., you could have traded him for draft picks, and you're probably better off. I mean, look where the Cowboys were with Dez Bryant. Let's be honest. I mean, seriously, look where Randy Moss ever won a championship. And let me ask this question. Was Randy Moss even, when he finally calmed down with the Patriots, is when he really became a player? I mean, Bill Belichick made him. I mean, he was always a great athlete, unbelievable. He was always a distraction. There's always something with Randy Moss. When he got disciplined and grew up a little bit, that's when he became the great player, Randy Moss.
Yeah, but that's when Eli and Plaxico took care of that.
Yeah, we took care of
Brady
that.
Moss.
That's right. We took care of all that.
That's right.
I mean, Odell, it's at the end of the game. Close game against one of the biggest teams you'll play for the rest of the year. If you're not going to give effort, then when are you?
Exactly. Well, that's the point. You had a chance to win the game. That's your chance to win the game. But I've said this many times, so hasn't Bernie. Every time we meet Odell Beckham Jr. to make a play, catch a ball, make a play, he's never come through. That's the truth. We'll see what happens this week with him. All right, that's Hot or Not. Don't forget to get some superb cupcakes. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to tie a bow on this show. Don't go anywhere.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the Brass Monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Doing some of these segments. Beefarino, where we mentioned the Seinfeld episode where on the sleigh ride where the horse was passing gas and Kramer, you know, fed the horse Beefarino and ruined the that's one of the best ones. The mm-hmm. other Seinfeld one that I mean there's I could watch those shows all the time. And but the one where remember where the father had the lover in the Vietnam War, the Korean War or something, and he remet her and then he met and he was explained that he wouldn't take his shoes off because he had terrible foot odor in her house and
yeah, I missed that one. Sorry,
that's a great one too. We got a couple texts about fantasy questions, which you guys got them in a little bit late. But Dennis from Georgia wrote, "Hey Jeff, two fantasy questions. Since I'm in the playoffs, with a little laugh face because he's in our league, said Goff or Deshaun Watson at quarterback, and Jordan Reed or Alshon Jeffrey at a flex. I would say, if you want my personal opinion from the two-time champion of this league that we're in here, I would probably go with Goff in." I don't know. Jordan Reed and I don't know. Probably Jordan. Jordan Reed's playing the Giants, right? So yeah, right. Go with Jordan. But then again, it's Mark Sanchez throwing to him. So go Alshon Jeffries, buddy. I'm here to help you out, Dennis. I'm here.
Yeah, I'd go the other way. I'd go Deshaun instead of Goff against the
there you go. So Dennis, so hopefully we're really helping you out, yeah. Dennis.
Yeah, I'd go Deshaun, but I'm with you on Alshon Jeffrey. Mark Sanchez. The only person I have that you should be taking with Mark Sanchez on the field is his butt.
Well, it's not the butt. It's
the offensive lineman.
It's the offensive lineman.
Well, but did you see his play this year?
No.
He had another butt incident. He fumbled the ball, and then he caught it, but he held it with his butt.
Well, nice work, Mark Sanchez. You got to hold on the ball. That's what happens. You do whatever you can to hold on the ball. It's a good team player.
It was butt redemption. Yeah.
Poor Mark Sanchez. Give the guy a break.
That poor guy.
Hey, keep it right here tonight, starting at 6:30. Coverage starts for Harvard at UVM. Bernie, big game tonight for the Catamounts. Three big wins on the road. They come home to take on Harvard.
Yeah, time, as Coach mentioned earlier in the show, time to protect the home turf. Last 18 minutes at Patrick Gym were not great, so hopefully the Cats respond.
And pack the gym tonight, right? I mean, listen, guys, we just talked about this. You got Harvard, Northeastern, and St. Bonaventure coming to town the next week and a half. Like, get out there and check these teams out. These are big-time programs, big-time teams, and they're coming to Burlington. Go Cats, go tonight with this. Tomorrow, you got your Patriots right here. Coverage starts at 10 a.m. The Pats in Miami. Listen, I know that Miami always gives them a hard time, but it's not going to happen this week. Get nothing to worry about. Big weekend here, obviously. We got the Catamounts. We got football. We got everything. Next week, we will be back here. We are Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game. I'm the host, Jeff Paul. My boy, Bernie Siplicki. Good. You're going to be on TV tonight, right, pal?
I'm going to be on TV.
With a fresh haircut, too, which is always good. Aaron, good job today. Appreciate you, even though you know you're so wrong on Gruden. Just so wrong on him. You're terrible about Gruden. Give Gruden a chance. He's going to be just fine. Just watch and see what happens next year. Maybe a couple years. Give him a couple years. You know what I mean, Bernie? All right. We're the local sports show on this station. Tune in next week, 10 to noon. We're Sports Saturday. I'm Jeff, Bernie, Aaron. Have a good weekend, everybody.
The home of Patriots, Red Sox, and Bruins. WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh. 101.3 The Game.